welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders Podcast Series. The goal of this podcast is to bring semiconductor experts together to get to the truth about the matter at hand. We'll get right to the point and not exceed 30 minutes of your time. If you have a topic you would like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. With me today is my podcast partner, Mike Gianfagna. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dan.
Our guest today is Sudhir Mallya, Vice President of Corporate and Product Marketing for Open5. Good morning, Sudhir.
Good morning, Dan. Good morning, Mike.
We're going to talk about the emergence of 2.5D chiplets in AI-based applications. But first, Sudhir, let's start with how you came to the semiconductor industry.
Yeah, thank you, Dan. So I was actually consider myself very fortunate during both my undergrad and grad school, I had a couple of really outstanding advisors and mentors who were in the semiconductor field. And that's where I developed my passion for semiconductors. So I entered the industry as an analog chip designer, you know, even though right now I pretty much have forgotten pretty much all of it. But since then I've worked in almost every aspect of the industry, including product marketing, you know, business development and management. And the thing I absolutely love about it is being involved in these programs from the very early concept to shipping products that have gone on to generate not only billions of dollars of revenue, but also have fundamentally changed the lives of so many people in this world, right? And the innovation doesn't seem to be ending anytime soon. So it's so great to see that the resurgence of chips, especially on the custom silicon side, and I feel excited and honored to be part of this industry.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there's been a more exciting time to be in semiconductors. So I think that the next few years ahead of us is going to be quite interesting. So let's talk about the idea of putting multiple chips in a package, which is not new, yet there are a tremendous amount of attention and interest on 2.5D solutions and chiplets is what we're seeing today. What are your views on how this is all going to play out in the next few years?
Yeah, that's a great question because I find myself asking that so very often these days, right? And the reason is that because chiplets have grabbed such a lot of attention. At the same time, as you said, the concept has been around for a long time. When we look at all the recent announcements that have been taking place, TSMC has announced that they've done more than 90 products in the last 10 years using the CoWoS technology. There are so many new announcements coming up from many folks that are doing chiplets. So I think the key reason where I see that chiplets have become hot today is that there's been a confluence of three technologies, right? One is from a process technology point of view, things have moved to much very small geometries and things are now hitting radical limits. Secondly, from a packaging perspective, an assembly technology has become good enough that we can put multiple of these things on multi-chips onto a substrate and create some very, very high bandwidth solutions. Having said that, you know, I still believe that there's a very long way to go because before everybody is designing with chiplets. And the reason I say that is because, the presentation that we see may look very simple, but doing an actual 2.5D implementation in SoC for those who've done it has been far from easy. And there are several reasons for that, and I'll just talk about a few, right? So firstly, when we're talking about AI and high performance computing, these are very large die that consume hundreds of watts of power. And there are some very significant technical challenges, such as creating stitched interposers that exceed maximum reticle sizes, embedding these chips into substrates reliably, all of which requires some new techniques in wafer processing, assembly and testing to take into account signal integrity, warping, mechanical, and so many other technical issues. The second challenge, I think, is the domain knowledge and expertise that is needed to optimally partition a system to combine these multiple off-the-shelf chips. And finding that right partitioning and developing these custom chiplets to define the most effective process nodes for each solution requires some very significant architectural knowledge. And that's not very easy to come by too. And then last but not the least is there are many technical considerations such as how do we standardize these chiplet interfaces? How do we create new business models around IP licensing? And where do we find known good die chiplets for building these the ASSPs out of these chiplets? Right? So all of these, I think, require a deep understanding of many interdisciplinary technologies. These go from design of the interface IP to creating new methodologies to creating advanced packaging. As a silicon supplier, we are excited to be part of this process, and we're looking forward to making this process easier for our customers.
Thank you, Sudhir. That's a great overview of some of the challenges. And by the way, from a past life, I was involved in complex 2.5D design. So I agree with you completely. There's a lot of aspects to this. There's a lot of technical challenges, and there are some, you know, procedural or standardization and business challenges as well. You touched on that briefly. I'd like to poke at that a little bit more. When chiplets become more of a mainstream business, how is that really going to affect the business models for both the silicon providers and the IP suppliers? What's going to be new and different in that world, do you think?
You're right. Actually, there is absolutely no question in my mind that in order for chiplets to become economically feasible and to find a more widespread adoption in the marketplace, it will require some significant collaboration between all the players in the ecosystem, you know, including foundries, silicon suppliers like us, OpenFive, EDA and IP companies, and also our end customers. I think today there are many, many more questions than answers on how to solve these. But I'm confident that in the coming months, we will see a tremendous amount of energy and activity put by the ecosystem to resolve these. So I'll give you a couple of examples of these to give you the flavor for what I'm talking about. Right. So firstly, you know, there is something which people refer to as the chiplet tax. And by that, what I mean is the upfront investment that is needed, for example, before we can start to enjoy all the benefits that come with a chiplet-based solution. So these include the tools that are needed to address design complexity, the development of new IP licensing business models. So for example, if I'm reusing a chiplet from one package to another, you know, how do I pay for that IP? The different types of packaging initiatives to lower the manufacturing cost of these things and to lower the part price overhead of these things. And the list goes on and on, right? Secondly, I think there's another question from a business model perspective of how the market is going to approach these and how customers are going to approach these. Are they going to look for customer-specific or design-specific chiplets similar to the ASIC model today, which are funded by customer NREs? Or will we see, you know, more ASSP-like companies building standard chiplet products? And the answer to this, I think, will be a mix. Initially, I believe, you know, that there will be many more cases where custom silicon will be the way to go. As especially on the chiplets, on the networking side, that area. However, as the technology matures and the architectural partitioning becomes more clear, we will start to see the emergence of application-specific chiplets, which can be shared across multiple applications. So I think the important point for the business model is to recognize that this is not a zero-sum game for the players. I think there's a tremendous amount of potential for the total TAM and the SAM of the market to increase based on the chiplets. And I believe, and I hope, and I believe that there will be more win-win business models created by the industry. And ultimately, we will see a world where there will be a dynamic environment which can democratize the world of chiplets.
That's an interesting picture you paint. So there are potentially new markets to be tracked here. Application-specific chiplet is new. You know, that'll be a new market, and maybe custom will be as well. So, by the way, I agree with you. There is a TAM to be grown here, and there's a lot of money to be made in this emerging market. question is, who gets that money? What do you think? Is it newer startups that are going to be more successful in this market, or is it well-established larger companies? Who's going to win here?
Yeah, great question again. And I think, again, there's a tremendous opportunity for innovation in this space. And whenever there's innovation and whenever there's pent-up demand, I think there will be opportunities for both large incumbents to make some significant shifts in technology and solutions, as well as I think there will be the opportunity for newer startups to come in and provide maybe more point solutions or maybe some innovative, clever solutions to solve some of these problems. So I think it's going to be a combination of the two. I think the challenges for this will be different depending on where in the chiplet ecosystem you're sitting at. So if you're a large company, for example, I think one of the biggest advantages you have is the ability to provide a bigger part of the solution. But at the same time, it's also very important to recognize that as the market dynamics are changing, this is very innovative. As a large company, you also have to let go of certain preconceived ideas, whether it be business models or other things like that, and look at it from the point of how are you going to solve the problem, as opposed to putting your pigeonholing yourself into a certain solution. For the startups, I think there's a tremendous opportunity, whether you're an IP supplier, whether you're a design system supplier, consultant, offering services for this. And I think in general, the silicon players who are able to provide an overall total solution will do well. So the people that are able to aggregate the solution, understand the customer's needs and provide a complete solution will also do very well. So I think there's, there's a lot of potential combinations of this. But I think the good news is that there's opportunity for both the big guys and also a very healthy ecosystem for startups that want to create something around this.
That's a good point. Let's talk a little bit about OpenFive. I'm a big fan of OpenFive. I'm a big fan of the ASIC business model. I wrote about it in my first book. It's design enablement, it's design starts. It's a very important part of our industry. You guys have been putting a big focus on chiplets and 2.5D solutions, which I think is awesome. What can we expect to see from OpenFive in the coming months?
Yeah, thank you, Daniel. So at OpenFive, I think we believe strongly that heterogeneous compute and chiplets are here to stay, right? And we have been a pioneer in this approach. We have had a long history with 2.5D implementations, including HBM. And we have a very strong solution with HBM and die-to-die, and also many customer engagements, right, that is helping us learn continuously about what is needed by the space, what's working, what's not working, and so on. So what we're planning, what we're doing is we're staying ahead of the game by investing in these more than more solutions. We're developing new die-to-die IP. We are working closely with our partners to develop chiplet technology, 2.5D packaging, and so on. So in the coming months, I think you'll see many exciting new initiatives from OpenFive, and these will range from AI-enabled subsystems to customizable die-to-die IP and chiplets with advanced 2.5D packaging. And what we're really looking forward to doing is enabling our customers to create some highly domain-specific SoCs that are very much optimized for power, performance, and cost. Right. So I think that's where the promise of the chiplets brings in the opportunity, where the opportunity is created by this. So many of the initial applications that we're seeing are driven by AI accelerators, high-performance computing, and networking, all of which need tremendous amount of compute, memory, and data bandwidth. And the SoCs need to fit into the data center with these form factors. So we want to see our customer be able to scale the performance by combining the SoCs. In the networking space, we're having many conversations on IO chiplets, including things like multiple serial links, for example. And then down the road, we also see opportunities for from things like computational storage, where there's a need for AI processing closer to the SSD controllers. So I think all of these create some very interesting potential. As I said in the beginning of my talk, I think right now there are many more questions than there are answers on this space, but I think the industry is moving very rapidly. And I'm very optimistic that 2021 will be the year of the chiplet. Right?
Yeah, I agree. And so, you know, this is a good place to stop, I think. Listen, if anybody out there is working on an ASIC or chiplets, 2.5D solutions, and you need some more information, need some help, definitely open5.com. Thank you guys for your time. Thank you, listeners, and we'll see you again next week. That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening, and have a great day.